Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Well, July is photo month at the Brian Lehrer Show, and it's time to look together at some of your submissions for our latest photo challenge called Change for the Better, Change for the Worse. We now have a slideshow of some of your images on our website at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. Check it out. Everybody who's near a computer, as I said before the break, might want to go to WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show, follow along with us as we talk about some of these images, and we'll make it make sense even if you're not following along. But we'll be selecting about 25 of your shots to be shown on a 30-foot screen next week at McCarran Park in Williamsburg as part of an event called the Slide Luck Pot Show. And helping us to peruse the images right now is New York author and musician James McBride, author of The Color of Water and his latest book, Song Yet Sung. He's also working with Spike Lee on an adaptation of his novel, The Miracle at St. Anna, which is slated for release this fall. So, if you're near a computer, go to our site and follow along, WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show. You'll see this segment with the link for the slideshow. And if you want to plan ahead and go see what our listeners have submitted on the big screen at McCarran Park, that'll be part of the Slide Luck Pot Show tour at McCarran Park in Williamsburg on Saturday night, August 2nd. Hey, James, welcome back to WNYC.
Well, thanks for having me. How are you doing, Brian?
I'm all right. So you've been perusing some of these photos?
Yeah, well, you know, I have my little Kodak here, too, but I didn't, you know, I couldn't, I don't know, nothing I did was good enough.
We're going to have more Change for the Better change, I mean, more photo challenges this month, so you never know. And we're going to talk to some of the photographers and linger on a few of these images in just a couple of minutes. But, I don't know, as you were going through it, do you think that any overriding themes regarding change for the better or change for the worse? I mean, I have one that jumped out at me, but any jump out at you that you think are on people's minds right now by looking at this?
Well, I mean, a couple of them fell into the kind of dippity-doo-dah-dippity-a category for me, like Asheville. I mean, you know, who cares? But
what was Asheville?
There was an Asheville photo. Somebody, you know, in Asheville. Was that a shop or a person?
Oh, that was the wigs, right?
Yeah, the wigs. Yeah. Well, you know, I like the one in Red Hook the best, showing Lily's, the old bar that closed back in '06, I think, and you know, showing the IKEA's in Red Hook now. And you know, as someone who was born in Red Hook, I'm kind of, you know, I have my own feelings about IKEA and the renovation, you know, the regentrification of that neighborhood. And in general, I like the idea. I mean, you know, we as New Yorkers have to accept that change is inevitable. And, you know, those who can change survive. Those who don't, won't. So,
right. And you know what? That's the theme that I saw. Everybody wanted to take photos of real estate change, of neighborhood change, of things gone. Like the bar, of things come, like new buildings, mostly new buildings that people don't like.
Well, I mean, it's hard to like a lot of these new buildings, you know. I mean, if you ever read Studs Terkel's book, Working, you know, he has a book where he talks to 300 people who do, and, you know, I love
right,
the
it's
stone.
All, it's oral histories.
It's all histories.
Oral histories of
oral
people
histories.
At their jobs.
That's right. And there was a guy in that book named the Stonemason who talked about his work as a stonemason. He could walk by that wall and see every stone and know how it, you know where he got it and know it'll be there in 100 years. And the people who built a lot of the old buildings, if they were still alive, a lot of their handiwork is here. Well, the newer buildings, I mean, you know, this prefab, you know, it's just, it doesn't have the same feel and the same sense of purpose and the same sense of community that a lot of the older buildings have.
Let's go through a few of the photographers here who are going to talk about their shots. And if you're on the slideshow, folks, go to image number 3, and we're going to talk to photographer Steve Pops Harlow, who sent in this panorama, really kind of a patch panorama that I don't know if it has a title. Pops, are you there?
Yes. Hi, Brian. I'm here.
Hey, thanks a lot for joining us. This is some, it looks like a collage of shots.
Yeah.
Is this a photo or is this something you mashed up?
It's a collage. I use a cell phone and I take about 40 pictures in that one, and I put it together into make one image out of the 40 details.
That is wild. And what is at the heart of this for you? My producer, who was collating these photos, keyed in on a wheelbarrow.
Yeah.
The thing right at the bottom.
Yeah, I saw the morning sun shining on this wheelbarrow. It's a street excavation at the corner of Fulton and Nassau. It's for the Fulton Street Station coming up. And I thought that the wheelbarrow sitting there in the middle of this excavation with the morning sun on it was kind of medieval looking. It's kind of strange.
And so are all of those shots taken at that corner? Is that a mashup of images all from, you know, from that project right now?
Yeah. Right, all from one vantage point. I'm just looking around and shooting, like I say, about 40 of them, sort of like if someone was to glance over the whole scene, I take a photo of every part of the glance.
It's really intriguing. It's so angular, and I love the lamppost on the left side where everything else is so kind of a lot of jagged but straight lines. Here's that lamppost with that beautiful little curve at the top going down to the light fixture.
Yeah, I like that, too.
So is it?
I have a question.
Sure.
How did you manage to take these pictures without people in them?
Well, really, there's people walking around all the time, but since I'm taking a series of pictures, it's like when I mash it together, the people often don't show up. Another thing is that this was very early in the morning, and I was standing leaning over the fence, and most of the people passing by were behind me.
Now, you like to take pictures of construction sites in general, don't you?
Yes, I do, and I see that as the constant, you know? Like, throughout the city, every place there's scaffolding and there's netting and there's street excavations, all the worker tools sitting around. That's the consistent thing in our visual environment here in the city. If it's buildings going down, buildings coming up, it really the main thing is that there's always something happening, always construction.
The constant is change.
Yes.
So is this change for the better or change for the worse at this Fulton Street Station?
You know, it's a little of both. I think the Fulton Street Station would be really great. It would have been a lot better as originally planned, but it's been cut back quite a bit. But the connection with the PATH train, I understand, is going to be part of it. I think that's going to be helpful. So in a way, it's good in the long run. It was a shame a lot of stores had to be demolished to make it, but... You know, that's how it goes, huh?
All right. Image number 3 on our slideshow of change for the better, change for the worse. Photographs, this one taken by Steve Pops Harlow, who shoots construction sites. Thanks a lot for coming on with us.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
And any thoughts, James McBride, about this photo before we move on from it?
No, I recognize it immediately. It seems like they've been under construction down there for a long time, but I have no further comment, Your Honor.
All right. Slide number 4 is... people on what looks like a new bicycle lane. This is a good thing. Looks like it might be a little separated from the road, if not by a physical divide, at least by some lines. So there's number 4. Now we're going to go on to photo number 5 and talk to another one of the photographers. And this is one of the ones that James McBride kind of dismissed a few minutes ago.
I didn't know I'd be talking to the photographer. I take it all back.
And let's talk to the photographer, Wesley Duffy Braun, a software engineer in Asheville, North Carolina. This is the one, if you're on the site or if you're not, that is a shot of, I don't know, maybe 15 or so mannequin heads with wigs in a store window. Wesley, welcome to WNYC. Hi there.
Hi there. Good morning, Brian. How are you doing?
Good. So this is a store window in downtown Asheville?
It is. It's a wig store that has been a fixture in downtown Asheville for quite some time. And, James, I heard what you said earlier. And, you know, Asheville is kind of out of the way from New York City, definitely.
Hey, now, Asheville might be a good place to be right about now. Asheville is in all the way in the western part of the state, kind of in the foothills of the Smoky Mountains, isn't it?
It is. It is indeed.
Must be a nice day there today, is it?
Yeah, it's not too bad.
Is it hot?
It's around 85 degrees, I guess. But we always get a nice breeze coming off the mountains, so it never gets too hot.
All right, so it's got a leg up on New York weather today just to begin with. But I'm sorry.
Go order Chinese at 2 in the morning. That's, you know.
Can't do that.
That's true. But, you know, what you said about the buildings coming up, buildings going down. What's interesting is that this Wiggs Center has been a fixture in downtown despite all the other buildings that have come up and gone down. Somehow it's managed to survive in this downtown. So you wouldn't necessarily know that just looking at the photo, not know the context behind it. But people who are familiar with Asheville will be able to recognize it and say, oh, yeah, that's still there, you know, 10, 15 years after they've even left town. So it is interesting that a local business has stayed despite the gentrification of the downtown area of Asheville. So.
Now, I gather that you didn't know about WNYC previously, but a listener told you about our photo challenge and encouraged you to submit, and you went out and took some pictures specifically for our project?
That's correct, yeah. I've been taking photographs for a long time, but it was an interesting challenge to go out with one specific purpose, especially not knowing a lot of the context of the show. I'd heard your name in passing, but hadn't listened to the show. But down here, it does have somewhat of a following over the Internet.
That's what I like to hear.
Okay.
So what kind of change were you trying to depict by shooting the window of this wig shop?
What I liked about it, and what I think it was an example of change, is that it's a way for people to walk in and immediately come out a completely different person than when they went in. So it's a way for people to experience change in their lives. And another thing that struck me about it is that you do have all of these mannequins that are dressed up pretty nicely. They have a lot of makeup on, very fancy wigs.
All women, by the way.
All women, except for this kind of gender-neutral, maybe male character.
Wearing the beret in the middle?
Exactly. And so the person with the dreadlocks and some facial hair.
Okay, I missed that. I guess that's a little goatee. I thought it was just a lock of hair that was kind of swaying that way. But
I think it's supposed to be like a somewhat of a soul patch overgrown there going on. And so I like that a lot, too, that they put this person right in the middle that is completely, you know, when juxtaposed next to everyone else around them, is a real striking example. I think somebody working at the store was probably having a lot of fun that day and decided to dress somebody up a little differently than the rest of the people. But what was really change for the better, change for the worse, you can't really say that not knowing how people are going to go into the store and use what's available in the store to change their own lives. Some people maybe will change for better, change for the worse. You don't know. You can kind of have your own story that you take depending on how you look at the photo.
James McBride?
I have a question. You know, did you crop it specifically in the way that you took the photo so that it would reflect the building across the street?
Yes, somewhat. But it took a while. You can kind of see there's a little bit of a crosswalk there, and it took a while to get it where it wasn't just chock full of people walking by, because that would have, you know, you wouldn't have been able to see much of the left side of the street. But yeah, it was taken so that there would be kind of a nice reflection coming back off the glass there, without it being too distracting from the mannequins that are behind the plate glass in the store.
All right. Yeah. Well, people can debate among themselves whether, if they decide to get something like a wig, whether that's change for the better or change for the worse. I like the electric blue wig there and the silver hair wig. So there's a lot of variety there. And I want to thank Wesley Duffy Braun, software engineer in Asheville, North Carolina, who took this for our Change for the Better, Change for the Worse project. Thanks a lot for coming on with us.
Thanks, Brian. Have a good day.
We're going to cruise past slide number four here. Oh, I'm sorry, number six for just a second. We don't have the photographer. Is this the one, Jody, that you wanted us to mention? Coney Island Summer. Oh, Sunner. Coney Island Sunner. You see this guy, James?
Yeah. He looks like my high school social studies teacher. It's a real classic. You can't make these kind of people up.
Now, this was taken by Lucille Gold, 77 years old, who couldn't be with us this morning. Never took photos professionally, she says, but took a lot of amateur shots around Coney Island during the 1970s. This was taken at Brighton Beach in the middle of the winter, in fact, this guy sunning himself. And this guy looks to me, there's a sort of famous guy, I don't know if he's still alive, very elderly, was a constant runner around the reservoir in Central Park. And then you'd see him hanging around there, even when he couldn't run anymore, sunning himself. He had very bronze skin and the leathery look to go with it. I don't know, it looks like that guy. I don't know if it's the same guy.
Well, I like the medallions on his chest, the hairy, you know, the hairy look of his whole persona, the mustache. Good-looking guy.
All right, and we're going to go now to another photographer. This is going to be image number 8, restroom, taken by John Sidlow, who lives in Brookline, Massachusetts. So again, if you're on the slideshow, go to image number 8, the one called restroom. John, hi there. Welcome to WNYC. Hello from New York.
Hello. It's a pleasure to be on your show. Thank you.
Now, you had photographed for WNYC's previous project, Street Shots, correct?
Yes.
And so you decided to go for this change for the better, change for the worse challenge as well. So we're looking at four kind of, you know, the very old-fashioned high stand-up urinals in a men's room. Two of them are blocked off. Two of them look like they're still functional. What are you going for here?
Well, to me, this was a picture that just begged to be taken. The sign above them says, "Coming soon." A new restroom and an image of what the restroom is going to look like. And it's certainly, when you scan the rest of the photograph, you see how badly that new restroom was needed at the time I took this picture.
And this is in Brookline's Coolidge Corner Theater.
That's
men's
right.
room.
That's right.
Just before, and this is an old shot. This is before the renovation back in around 2001, correct?
It is.
So this, do you have an after shot somewhere?
I do not have an after shot. I have an after shot of the outside of the theater. I haven't taken one of the inside of the theater. Frankly, it's not nearly as interesting.
Probably. I love this picture. I think it's great. It's one of my favorites.
How come?
Well, I mean, those urinals smelled awful, but you felt like a horse when you lined up at those suckers, you know, as opposed to the little space pods that you... You know, you're stuck with today. I like the stall next door. You can see the half shot of the woman with the bathing suit or whatever. You really get a sense of the place from this picture. It's just wonderful. I confess it makes me long a little bit for the old days when bathrooms had these things. Although, like I said, they weren't the most pleasant smelling apparatuses in the world.
Urinals in men's rooms, and for the women in our audience who've never seen one, have kind of evolved along the lines of the phone booth, right? The phone booth, it used to be this big thing. You go in, you close the door, you had some privacy. Now it's this little spot on the wall. Do you remember the Superman movie where, of course, the original Superman from the 1950s, the TV series, he would duck into the phone booth and change into the Superman costume from Clark Kent, and then he was running to a phone booth, but it was just this phone on the corner. He's like, "Oh, now what do I do?" And so those urinals were built almost with that much architecture. Now it's probably the self-flushing, which half the time don't actually self-flush when you walk away from them, thing that they have there. So, all right, John Sidlow, what else do you shoot?
Well, my primary interest is street photography. I really enjoy the sense of walking around the street and being alert to the next thing that grabs your attention. I like to think of your brain of having a some kind of, I'm not a brain expert, but some kind of a pay attention center. And as soon as that pay attention center sends a message to my eyes, I have managed to connect that up to my shutter finger. And
sometimes artists pay attention a little differently or a little more than a lot of other people as they walk down the street in their own little zone. So thanks a lot, John. We got to move on real quick to our last image, image number 9 out of the 16 or so that are up there. You'll see this is called Go Green if you're on our site. And we have just about 30 seconds for the photographer, Daphne Schlick, a lawyer here in New York City. This is kids painting the words "Go Green" in the street. Daphne.
Yes, that's correct. This is this was actually taken on an event called Museum Mile, and what really inspired me to take the shot actually was the incredible energy that the kids were displaying. There were just kids all over Fifth Avenue, which was closed at the time, drawing and doing presentations all about the kind of change they wanted to see. And it kind of was a nice contrast. I think a lot of people tend to think of kids sometimes as, I don't know, apathetic or very uninvolved. And here was, kids in the middle of the street, completely concentrated, like these two girls.
Change for the better.
Exactly.
No doubt. All right. Thank you very much for coming on. And we also have to leave it there with James McBride, New York author and musician. His latest book, Song Yet Sung. And he's working with Spike Lee on a movie adaptation of his novel, The Miracle at St. Anna, slated for release this fall. James, thanks for doing this with us. This was
great.
Fun.
Enjoyed it.
And we'll be telling you more about these images, and some of which are going to be shown out at McCarran Park on a big screen as part of the Slide Luck Pot Show event next Saturday, August 2nd. Brian Lehrer on WNYC.